And once again, welcome to the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Voice Room. And for the sake of the recording, today is 3-13. Yeah, see, I messed up already. Lori looked at me like, are you nuts? And usually I am. But today's 3-13. Too many threes in there. And today's study will be study number 46 in what I'm calling a journey through Acts. And you may be wondering, well, how can he teach us anything about Acts if you don't really know what day it is? Well, bear with me. Maybe you might be right. Maybe I can't teach you anything about Acts. But anyway, we're going to take a shot at it. So we are winding down our study of the book of Acts. I was looking on the website the other day, and it looks like we started this thing back in February of last year. So we've already been over a year in studying the book of Acts, and it's been a verse-by-verse study. And certainly, as I like to remind everybody, I have not even touched on a portion of the things that are in this book for us. There's so much in this book that if we start it all over when we get finished and begin and go through it again, we're going to see things the second time that we didn't even see the first time. And that's the way the Holy Spirit works. The more you study, the more you see. And even though this has been either the fourth or fifth trip through the book of Acts for me now through the years, I still learned things, and I still find things that amaze and astound me as I go through this book, things that I see. So I hope it's been a blessing to you, because it certainly has to me. It's looking like today and one more will probably be the end of our study in the book of Acts. Next week we'll probably conclude with the conclusion here in Acts 28. And we'll spend a lot of time, of course, going over Acts 28:28, which I believe to be the big dispensational boundary in the Scripture. Now, if you don't know what that means, you certainly need to tune in next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, as they used to say back in my day. And let's catch the rest of the story of what's going on with the book of Acts. And I hope you'll join us. Today I want to do a short review. Last week we covered Acts 28, verses 7 through 16. And I've written, as I usually do, I've written a short synopsis to kind of get everybody on board of what happened last week so that we can continue on with this week. So by way of short review, I wrote that Paul and his companions are lodged for 3 days in the home of Publius. You know, they've been shipwrecked now on the island of Malta. So he and his companions are lodged for 3 days in the home of Publius, the chief man of the island of Malta there. Paul also healed Publius's father of dysentery, which was noised about the island, which brought many others from the island who were also healed. And we have the record of that in Acts, where many others were also healed in the island. The people were so grateful that when it came time for Paul and his company to leave, the people provided them with all the traveling provisions that they would need for their journey as Paul was headed on up to Rome. So 3 months after the shipwreck, they depart the island in another corn ship from Alexandria, and they sailed to Syracuse, where they spent 3 days there in Syracuse. And we went over the fact that you can look these names up even on Google. Some of the towns still have the same name they had then. And you can actually literally trace the journey of Paul from town to town. If you get an ancient map, you can track this journey from town to town as he makes his way toward Rome. So they then left there from Syracuse and sailed on to Rhegium. And after a day, they picked up a very nice southern wind, which they needed to properly propel them northward toward Rome. So they sailed on to Puteoli, where they found brethren, and they stayed there for 7 days. So by now the brethren in the area, the fellow believers in the area, had come to the knowledge that Paul had not been killed in the storm, that they, I believe, had literally survived it, and that they were making their way toward Rome. So leaving Puteoli, they continued toward Rome, meeting brethren at the Appii Forum in the three taverns, which had heard that they had arrived, which encouraged Paul when he met these brethren. Meeting the fellow believers is always an encouragement. That's why we have our conferences a couple, three times a year, because, you know, and I love Pal Talk and getting together on Pal Talk, but there's nothing, as Jim used to say, like hugging and mugging. You know, you get to hug all the necks and have some good discussions with folks and find out how they're doing and what have you. It's always a blessing to meet the brethren, and Paul, that was no different for him. So arriving finally in Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was allowed to dwell by himself with the soldier that kept him. And when it says with the soldier that kept him, it literally meant that they were chained wrist to wrist. Paul was in chains to this man so that he could not escape. That was the custom of the day and how they kept a prisoner. So what I'm going to do today, we'll pick up, I want to reread verses 15 and 16, and then we'll pick up with our new study today in verse 17 and try to get down at least through verse 23. So let's read Acts 28, verses 15 and 16. It says, "And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, two small towns that are along that road to Rome, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage." So it encouraged him. When he saw these people, he thanked God for them, and it encouraged him that he saw them. It says in 16, "And when we came to Rome," he finally gets to Rome after all the adventure that he's been through up to this point. They finally arrive in Rome. "When we came to Rome, the centurion delivered the prisoners to the captain of the guard, but Paul was suffered to dwell by himself with a soldier that kept him." So he had like his own personal bodyguard or his own personal jailer, prison keeper, for lack of a better term here. And let's pick up with 17 now that you're kind of into what's going on and move forward with our study today. 17 says, "And it came to pass," Acts 28:17, "that after 3 days Paul called the chief of the Jews together." The chief is the protos. That's the Greek form protos there, the first or the foremost. So he called the first and the foremost of the Jews together. "And when they were come together, he said unto them, Men and brethren, though I have committed nothing against the people," the laos, the Greek form there is laos, and that means people in general, "though I have committed nothing against the people or the customs," the ethos in the Greek, "the manner prescribed by law." He said, "I haven't done anything against the people, and I haven't done anything against the law." And if you want to debate what law he's talking about there, I believe he's talking about the law of Christ. But certainly in the context of the people and what they heard, I believe that he was talking about the law of Moses. But he says, "I have committed nothing against the people or the customs, the ethos, the manner prescribed by law of our fathers, yet was I delivered prisoner from Jerusalem," or out from Jerusalem, "into the hands of the Romans." He said, "I hadn't done anything against the people or against the law, but I was delivered prisoner from Jerusalem all the way here into the hands of the Romans." And he makes that pretty clear to the chief of the Jews, the council that he's called together there. And we're going to see as we go through our study here, and I hope to be done before 12 so we can catch Barney's study. But as we go through here, I want you to see the exchange between him and this council of Jews that are present here. Now, they seem to be a little more docile. They don't seem to be quite as out for blood, so to say, as the previous councils were. And I don't know how many of the members of the council's changed. I don't know if this is a local council, but I would think that it would be the chief leader of the Jewish council all the way from Jerusalem. Now that's where my mind takes me, but you can study that out for yourself. But this council doesn't seem to be as bloodthirsty as the last one. You know, in the previous times, that we've seen Paul before these councils. Everybody hear me okay? Are we having any pal talk issues? Mike did his Greek study last night, and we were fighting pal talk, having some issues. Okay, sounds like we're doing good. So let's move on to verse 18. Acts 28:18 says, Paul says, who, talking about the Romans, when they had examined me, Anacrino, when they had examined me, the Greek form there, Anacrino, means to scrutinize or to investigate. So he says, when the Romans had scrutinized me, when they had investigated me, they would have or were wishing to let me go or free me fully. If you look at it in the Greek, it should read, who, when they had investigated me, were wishing to free me fully. They were wanting to let me completely go. Let me go free. Because there was, as he said, no cause of death in me. There was no reason that I should be put to death, Paul says. Let's read it again. Who, when they had examined me, would have let me go because there was no cause of death in me, Paul says. Verse 19. He says, but when the Jews spake against it. Now the history of Paul down through the book of Acts is it's not the Romans that are his enemy. Though he's a Roman prisoner, they're merely the ones in charge. Remember, the entire nation of Israel at this time are Roman prisoners, literally. They are under the rule of the Roman government at this time. They are allowed to do their laws. They are allowed to have their own, existence, within their laws and the confines of their laws, as long as they don't break the Roman laws. But Roman law is superlative in these cases. And if you thought they weren't, then the Romans would come with swords and force, and they would force you to believe that. And that's just the way it was. So it wasn't ever the Romans that were a problem for Paul. It was the Jews. It was always the Jews that spoke against him, the unbelieving Jews that would not accept the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, but when the Jews spake against it. Spake against there is the Greek form entelago. Entelago. And it means disputed or contradicted. So the Jews disputed and contradicted what the Romans believed, which was that Paul should be released. The Jews spoke against it, he said. They contradicted it. I was compelled to appeal. Was constrained to there literally means compelled. I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. See, they backed him into a corner where he had absolutely no recourse. Paul saw that the deck and the jury, the council was stacked against him in the previous meetings with them before the Romans and the council. And he knew if the Romans released him into the custody of the Jews, he knew what his fate would be. He knew he would be killed. So he says, when the Jews spake against it, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had aught to accuse my nation of. He said, I'm not accusing the entire nation. I don't have anything to accuse or to, you know, charge my nation with. He said he's basically saying, I was caught in the circumstances, therefore I had to appeal to Caesar. He knew the deck was stacked against him in these courts that were set up. And he knew that in a lot of cases, the Roman people in charge, the Roman governors and so forth, Festus and some of the rest of them, were in cahoots with the Jews. A lot of times they would do things just to show the Jews a pleasure. If there were many Jews in their particular district, they would do things like throw them a bone just to show them a pleasure. So he says, let's read it again in 19. But when the Jews spake against it, I was constrained or compelled to appeal to Caesar. Not that I had anything to accuse my nation of. And then verse 20, very interesting verse. Let's read verse 20. Paul says, for this cause, or because of this reason then, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you. Now, he's talking to the Jewish council here. He says, for this reason, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because, now listen to this, this is important. And it's especially important for those folks that think that the church might have started at Acts 2, or the church started at Acts 7, or the church started at Acts 9, or Acts 14, or Acts 15, or Acts 22, or any of those other places. This is paramount. I want you to listen to this. This is a deal breaker for you if you believe one of those previous places that I mentioned for the beginning of the church. Paul says, for this cause therefore have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel I am bound with this chain. What? For the hope of Israel? Now, oh, wait a minute. I thought Paul went to the Gentiles in the book of Acts. You remember Acts 10, when Peter saw the sheet coming down, and he opened the blade, and Peter basically, as the one who was over the kingdom at the time on earth, opened the doors to the Gentiles, because God showed him that now nothing was unclean. And from that point forward, in the book of Acts, chronologically, it was the message of Christ was to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile. Paul describes this whole grafting in process in explicit detail in Romans 9 through 11. Read it. Don't take my word for it. Read it. Go and look at Romans 9 through 11. And look at the picture of the olive tree. The tame olive tree and the wild olive tree, and the wild olive tree branch being grafted into the root of Israel. Look at it. These Gentiles that believed during this time were offered a chance at being grafted into the same hope that the nation of Israel had at that time. So Paul says, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, not for the hope of the Gentiles, not for the hope of the church. Yeah, I said that. Not for the hope of the church. But for the hope of Israel. Now, what was the hope of Israel? That's the $150,000 question, isn't it? Do you know what the hope of Israel is at this time? Well, don't feel bad if you don't. Not too many people did coming down through the book of Acts. You remember when Apollos went around in Acts 18, Apollos went around teaching and preaching the baptism of John. Well, Priscilla and Aquila had to pull him aside and say, look, that's not the deal anymore. That's not the deal. So, what is the hope of Israel? The Messiah, the kingdom of the Messiah, is the hope of Israel at this time. I believe, and I believe that's what Paul's preaching. And he's chained for it. He says, I'm not in this chain for the Gentiles. I'm in this chain for the hope of Israel. Well, guess what? If there were no hope of Israel at this time, there would not have been a hope for the Gentiles either. Because according to Paul in Romans, the Gentiles were being grafted right in, and it makes perfect sense if you go back and look at all the times after Acts 10 that Paul went to the Jewish synagogue first, and when they chose not to believe, he said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And he would preach them their version of the message, and they would either believe or not believe. And the ones who believed, guess what? They were grafted in. They were brought in and had the same hope as the Israelites that turned down the hope. Isn't that something? That's how God works. That's how God was working in the book of Acts, I believe. Now, you can agree with that or disagree with that. But let the Scripture guide you. Don't take my word for it. The last thing I want you to do is believe it, because Ronnie said it. Go and check it out. The grafting in process. If you've never heard of it, you need to check it out. Check out Romans 9 through 11. Romans is probably the last book that Paul writes before we get to the next few verses. It's the last kingdom book that Paul's going to write before we get to the dispensational boundary of Acts 28:28. And that's what we're really going to dig into next week. We're going to take an in-depth look at Acts 28:28 and the verses that go along with it. But it's the hope of Israel, he says, that I'm bound with this chain. He's still in chains for the same hope here as in the beginning of the book of Acts, even though his ministry was to the Gentiles as well. Without the hope of Israel, there couldn't have been any grafting in process for the Gentiles. So no doubt to me, when I read this, I see that the church could not possibly have commenced at Acts 9 or at Acts 10 or at Acts 15 or any of those other places that a lot of folks today believe that it does commence. And I believe this statement negates that. He tells us here at the end of Acts why he's got a chain on. Well, it's a big deal. Man's going to be chained for something. There better be a good reason. And he says, for the hope of Israel is the reason. Let's move on. Acts 28:21. So the council answers back to him. And they said unto him, we neither receive letters. Letters there being Greek, the Greek word or Greek form gramma, writings. It means a letter of the alphabet, literally, the word gramma does. But they said, we neither received any writings out of Judea concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came showed or spake any harm of thee, reported or spake anything evil of thee, is how that should read. Now, this group refers to the group in Judea, the leaders of Israel in Judea. So I'm thinking this is totally a different group now that Paul's sitting in front of than he was, or at least not all of them. It may be some of them. But I think there's at least some new faces in this council, this Jewish council that Paul sits before here. Because he said we need to receive letters out of Judea. That tells me that this group here is probably a local group. Or from some other places. I have no idea where Paul would have called this council from. Because earlier, you remember, he says, I've called you for this purpose. I've called you together for this purpose. So they said unto him, verse 21, we neither receive letters, the writings out of Judea, concerning thee, neither any of the brethren that came reported or spake anything evil of thee. Talking about Paul himself. Verse 22. Listen to what he says then. He says, but we desire. That's the Greek form axio. A-X-I-O-O. Axio. That means to deem entitled or fit. Or to think it right. We think it's right, Paul, to hear of thee what thou thinkest. At least they felt like they owed him his time in court for all that he had been through. You know, it says desire is not exactly a good English translation there. I don't think too many people on the council really desired to hear what Paul had to say, but they thought that in this case it was right. And they may have been saying that even with a little bit of a Roman influence looking on. Because remember, the Romans were going to give both sides their say in their court. But desire here is a different Greek word. It doesn't mean desire. It means to deem entitled or to deem fit or to think it's right. They thought it was right to hear of Paul what he thought. But we desire to hear of thee, verse 22, what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, you know what the word sect is, don't you? It's the Greek word heresis. And it means a choosing. What you choose to believe or what you choose to use as guidance. A choosing. Our word for it today is heresy. This is the Greek form that we get our word heresy from. And you know what heresy means in the English. It's something that, you know, it's just a story. It's hearsay, as we call it. Not too founded in truth. That's what the word sect there. And they go on to say for us, concerning this sect, we know, or it is known to us, that everywhere, guess what? It is spoken against. The sect of Christianity, it is known to us that everywhere around it is spoken against. These are just a bunch of crackpots running around trying to convince everybody that the Lord Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and that we don't have to keep the law and doing this and doing that. It's just, you know, it's just a bunch of nuts running around. It's a sect. That's what he had to say about, he says, I understand about you, Paul, but we want to hear more about this sect. Because all we know is that everywhere around here it's spoken against. It's in a negative connotation. We desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. And that's in a negative, connotation for sure. Then verse 23. And when they had appointed, that's the Greek form tasso, arranged. They arranged the day. They got together with Paul and said, okay, on this day we're going to hear what you've got to say about it. So when they had arranged him a day, there came many to him into his lodging. They came to Paul's house, the place where Paul was staying. There came many to his lodging, to whom he expounded. That's the Greek form Ektithemai. And it means to expose or declare. He expounded. He exposed Christ to them. He declared Christ to them. And he testified, which is the Greek form diamarturamai. Testified. And it means to earnestly attest to or to witness. He saw Christ on the Damascus Road. And guess what? I have no doubt in my mind that just as he had to the previous couple of two or three councils that he had sat before in the book of Acts, there's no doubt in my mind that this time this council too heard the testimony of what happened to him on the Damascus Road that turned his mind around, because he was, remember, in the beginning, he was as they were. He was, as he says in Philippians, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was the man. There was nobody that was better at being a Pharisee, according to Paul, than Paul was. He had no problem telling you what rank he had within the ranks of Pharisees. But he was able to testify, the Greek word diamartoromai, that's the word for testifying, which means I was a witness of these things. I'm not making this up, Paul says. So I have no doubt when I think of what he must have said to these guys in their all-day meeting here, I have no doubt that he went back over the fact that he had met the Lord Jesus Christ himself face to face on the Damascus Road in the light that came from heaven. No doubt in my mind. So it says, to whom he expounded, which means to expose or declare, and he testified, which means to earnestly attest to or to witness. Both causes. He came at them from the scriptural record, and he came at them from his own personal record of Christ. He testified the kingdom of Theos, the kingdom of God. Now, this is an interesting term, kingdom of God. And let's read the rest of the verse and we'll go back and talk about that a little bit. I want you to look at before we do that, look at the note in the Companion Bible on verse 29. No, 23, I'm sorry. Look at the note for the kingdom of God in the companion Bible. It says the messianic kingdom was the subject. The mention of the Lord Jesus and the law of Moses and the prophets establishes this. Now, if you have a companion Bible, some of you probably, a lot of you do, some of you may not. If you have a companion Bible, there are two excellent, I think, appendixes in the back that deal with this subject of the kingdoms and the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of heaven. Remember, the kingdom of heaven is used, that term is used exclusively in the book of Matthew. And I believe it occurs there some 32 times. But it says the messianic kingdom was the subject. The mention of the Lord Jesus and the law of Moses and the prophets establishes this. And I agree with that term. If you go back and if you have a computer program, do this little trick. Do your search on kingdom of heaven, the three words, the exact phrase, kingdom of heaven. Then do the same search on the exact phrase, kingdom of God. They're all used in context, I believe, of the kingdom hope of Israel that we're talking about here. Now, you say, well, Ronnie, wait a minute. Kingdom of God occurs in the book of Colossians in chapter 1. Yes, it does, but guess what? If you go back and look at it, Paul is referring to fellow servants who had served with him, he says, in the kingdom of God as he was teaching and preaching the kingdom of God. He's looking back, because when you get to Colossians, Paul's teaching and preaching the mystery, the body of Christ. He's not teaching and preaching the same thing he was in the book of Acts anymore. And that's why Acts 28:28 is so important. And that's why I hope that if you haven't been with us through this entire study, that you will at least be with us for next week at 11:15 Eastern Standard Time when we meet again here in the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Voice Room and go over this. It's imperative that we get this down and know and understand this dispensational boundary. Because if you don't, you're just going to be taking things of the kingdom and things of the church, the body of Christ, and you're going to be rolling them together, and you're going to have the ball of string all wadded up, and you're not going to know the difference in the two, and there are differences. There are many differences between the two. Not the least of which is the hope of one versus the other. And that's what I want you to see. That's what I want you to know. That's what I want you to grab onto. So it says, to whom he expounded, verse 23, let's read it again. And when he had appointed them a day, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God. Yes, the kingdom of God. I believe it being one and the same with the kingdom of heaven. It may be a little larger in scope, but I believe in this case it's got to be referring to the same one. The kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. Well, both of those things apply to who? The nation of Israel and their hope. The law of Moses applied to the nation of Israel, and the prophets applied to the nation of Israel. So he persuaded them concerning Jesus out of both of those sources from morning, from the beginning in the morning, till in the evening. Isn't that something? From morning till evening, he expounded the things of the kingdom of God. We'll stop there today. There's no way I can go any further, because if I do, we're gonna get into a much larger study than we've possibly got time for this morning. And I wanted to end so that if you wanted to hear Barney's study this morning, you could jump on over to the Mysterion Truth Bible Study Voice Room and hear the Mysterion Truth message from Barney this morning. So we'll stop here. Let me stop the recorder.